Welcome back to FightCasters, presented by the Las Vegas Sun. Pretty big week, pretty big night. Tomorrow will be the biggest night. UFC 100, I'm Andy Samuelson, a sports writer, boxing, MMA for the Las Vegas Sun, joined by Brett Okamoto, as always. Brett, what do you think? The big event's hours away.
Hey, pretty fun day, huh? I mean, we were over at Mandalay Bay all day long checking out the Fan Expo. We kind of showed up at the same time, but then we kind of went off on our own. What were you out checking out today?
Well, I was actually writing a couple other stories. I wrote, you know, the Ultimate Fighter cast was released today. So if you've been under a rock or in Siberia, Kimbo Slice is on it. Heavyweights, Kevin Ferguson, then you know the real deal, Holyfield. You know that was announced, and obviously, just there was tons of stuff you could check out: grappling tournaments, fighters, anyone who was everyone was there today. And then I went to the Q&A with Dana White. That was really interesting this evening, and saw the Hall of Fame. A lot of times you see energy in this sport, but a lot of it's the just the pumped up pre-fight or just the adrenaline rush of winning. Today I actually saw, some sadness. I thought some reflection. You don't often see it in this sport, but when Dana White, not that he fought back tears, but you could tell that it was very meaningful for him to induct his good friend Chuck Liddell into the Hall of Fame. And then even more sad was when Liddell's good friend Charles Lewis, a mask from Tap Out, was also inducted. He died earlier this year in a car wreck, and some just very touching moment when Dan Caldwell, the co-founder of Tap Out, talked about his good friend, and they gave him the Hall of Fame plaque, and you can go to Mandalay Bay and see that. But besides that, on a positive note, you know, it was just a lot of energy. People are pumped, and I think people are excited, kind of like Dana said, that this is just the beginning, and you really see that people can't get enough of MMA or UFC.
Well, the UFC have just done a phenomenal job of creating basically an entire week of an appreciation for their sport, and you saw it with the Fan Expo, and I think that it was such a huge deal because, as we've mentioned before on this show and, you know, just kind of talking in between us, that this is a unique sport and that fans get to meet the fighters. They get to meet the people that put this together, you know, and it's not a situation where it's like baseball players and maybe throw them a ball. These are guys that will sit there and talk with them. They're not behind a fence, you know, talking through to something. I mean, they were walking around Mandalay Bay. And, you know, it was cool to see fans' reactions to that. Like, hey, oh, my God, is that Chuck, you know? And, like, just watching a girl get done taking a picture with him and then run away, the smile on her face. It's like, I mean, you can understand how the sport is growing as popular as it is. So, you know, really a great day. And now I think Brock Lesnar said it the best, where, hey, I'll see you tomorrow. And let's come here and do what we would do what's you know, the main point of all this.
And then talk about, you know, it was a rowdy weigh-in. I've only seen one that was a little more crazy, but obviously you had a bunch of Brits involved in this one. Only a couple today with Michael Bisping. That was a Pacquiao and Hatton's fight. A lot of beers, a lot of pints were getting drank that day. But this one, equally crazy, filled the Mandalay Bay, or at least the portioned off section for the weigh-ins. A couple crazy moments. Who knew Stephen Bonner was a comedian, talking about how he had 50 Cent on the phone. And then what else really stood out to you?
Oh, just the energy of it, man. Just the energy of it. The fact that, I was at a Q&A session with Kenny Florian, 2 hours before the weigh-in doors opened. And I come out of the Kenny Florian, Q&A session with some of the fans. And here's just this long line of people, like people who had bought boxes of pizza so they could actually eat while they were sitting in the line. And it just shows, I mean, this is a weigh-in. No one's fighting here. This is just people walking across the stage and getting on a scale. So I think that's what really stuck out to me, and it was awesome.
And maybe Joe Rogan's introduction for Lorenzo Fertitta, a little late getting on the stage, and we can't really say it, but it was quite hilarious.
Basically, he said, you know, this man needs no introduction. You know who the...
Yeah, I get you.
So, you know, no more delays. Let's talk about the fights, and then, you know, I'm sure you guys are sick of listening to us talk and reading what we have to say. Let's just see these guys do it. But last second thoughts, let's start with Henderson Bisping. What are some things you picked up This week, talking to those guys and actually seeing them in person.
I mean, Bisping is not afraid to talk, and he feels like he's disrespected. And you got to remember, his only loss is to Rashad Evans. He's a legitimate fighter. You can throw in that Hamill fight. A lot of people think he lost that one too, but this is a guy who has some skills. Henderson's getting a little older. I still like Henderson. I think he's just too tough. I think he'll take it down. If he can avoid a strike, you know, just not get caught on some shot, I think he's going to win this one, much like he did his fight with Rich Franklin.
I like Bisping a lot. I think he's a great fighter. Like you said, he's 18-1, and his only loss comes to a guy that was previously, you know, a light heavyweight, you know, champion, and he lost to one of the best in the sport, Lyoto Machida. So, I mean, you're talking about a guy, Bisping, who is definitely an up-and-comer. I think he's got a ton of potential, but I think he's just running up against the wrong matchup in this one. Dan Henderson is strong. He's aggressive. He'll take you down. He'll grind your face up against that fence. I don't see Bisping having what it takes to score a win over Dan Henderson. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I do like Henderson a lot. But I mean, I expect things from Bisping in the future.
Definitely, and he's a value bet at +210. I mean, he'd be a smart play. Henderson -260. Tough bet to make there unless you got enough cash to throw at it. Yeah. All right, let's get to this the first title fight. Thiago Alves made weight. That was the biggest thing to come out of there. He hit right at 170, and obviously the champ, George St. Pierre, who no one got a louder ovation than GSP. I mean, he may be Canadian, but American fans love this guy, and he really is kind of the face of the sport. You know, he's always business. He's always classy. He wore the suit yesterday at the press conference, and I know we differ here. I like GSP -320. Again, you're not going to get a whole lot of value unless you got a lot of cash to throw at that. But I think GSP is going to be too tough. I think the bout could maybe be a little more boring than people think, kind of like similar to how he controlled BJ Penn. You got to watch out for Alves. He can strike at any point. And his wins over the marquee guys that GSP also beat are definitely more impressive. But I like GSP in this one.
Well, one thing I did do this morning before I went to the Fan Expo was I had a breakfast with some of the WEC guys. I know we don't talk about WEC a lot, but this is an organization that's owned by UFC, you know, plays hand-in-hand with them, just lighter weight classes. And, of course, we all know Angel Torres, amazing fighter. I was talking to him about his predictions, and he had the same take as I did. He said that how can you not put a bet on Thiago Alves. It opened at +250. I think a lot of people believe in Alves because I think the last time I saw it today was it was down to +220, which means some people are putting money on Alves. But it only takes one shot from Alves, you know, and GSP has shown, again, we talked about this on Monday when we were kind of breaking this down, but GSP has shown that if you catch him right, you can beat him. And
not very often, huh?
No, not very often. But I think that a lot of people are just summing this up as, oh, GSP will take him down. GSP will take him down. He'll win the fight. But that's a lot easier said than done. First of all, Thiago has great takedown defense, and he also has an offense aspect in it, and that, you know, his Muay Thai is just, he's an expert at it. And if GSP goes for a takedown one wrong time, you know, one knee, and, you know, I think, I forget who said it, but maybe Matt Hughes said they're going to have to be explaining to him what happened because he's going to be out cold.
Yeah, but, I mean, GSP is as well-rounded as they come, so we're just going to have to disagree on that one.
Agree to disagree.
All right, let's get to the main match, the stare down the day. Mir Lesnar, what do you think?
Well, one thing that did come up from this week was, you know, some Brock Lesnar, Frank Mir fight statistics, and we should thank UFC for kind of putting those together. Rachel Trontel and Jennifer Wink, all those guys over at UFC. Thanks a lot for putting these together. Interesting things, you know, it's like statistics are such a big part of other sports. We don't really talk about them in UFC, but just taking a look at this, Brock Lesnar has outstruck opponents nearly 5-1 since coming to the UFC. He's 9-for-12 on takedowns. He's the most accurate ground striker in UFC history with a minimum of 50 ground strike attempts. I thought it was kind of funny what Frank Mir said today about, or not today, I saw it in the promotional video during the weigh-in when he was like, yeah, he hits you a lot, but he's only raising his arm about 2 inches, so it's kind of like your little sister jumping on you. I don't know how big Frank Mir's little sister is, but I think that those hits are probably doing a little bit more damage than Frank is trying to say they do.
Yeah, I wouldn't take those lunch pails as someone described them. You know, they got to make specialized gloves for them. I think it's 4XL. They might not be the hardest punches in the world, but I guarantee you take 15 of them in a row. They'll probably just call the fight, you know?
Yeah, and then getting back over to Frank and the fight statistics, He has the most submission wins by any heavyweight in UFC history. He's the only man to ever knock out Nogueira, which we saw in his last fight. And his fights usually don't last long. 3 minutes, 52 seconds is his average UFC fight length. So we might be in for a short main event.
Maybe another Tim Silva adventure where he snapped his arm in less than a minute and the whole crowd saw it. And that really shows the power of jiu-jitsu right there, if you can do that. I like Mir. I think it's going to be a very close fight. And if Lesnar, I think Lesnar can win it very quick. He could just come out and unleash those ham hocks as they are. But I like Mir in this. I think he's going to strategize a little bit. But, man, Lesnar's just a beast.
Well, real quick, let's hear what these guys had to say. First, we'll give you Brock, and then following right behind that will be Frank.
I have to avenge a loss, you know, avenge Frank. So there's, you know, I don't want to go into this fight with any more emotions than necessary, you know. Just go in and, you know, stay calm, do what I've been, you know, trained to do the last 8 weeks, and hopefully everything goes my way. Brock, I think it will.
Just due to the fact that I've trained so hard for this fight, my weight's a little lower. So my conditioning's improved a lot. I think that I showed a lot of activity against Nogueira, and my conditioning's even better than that fight. So I think that's one thing that I think that my opponents, you know, they're not really going to peg on or count on or training to really out-technique me. They're trying to go there, oh, wear Frank down, get him tired, and then we can fight him. And then I think the minute we get on the scale and he looks at my physique and realizes that, you know, it's not because I really am a strict dieter, obviously it's because I train hard, that's going to be a little bit of a nerve-breaking moment.
All right, so that's what these guys had to say about their own fight. My final prediction for this one, it's a tough one to call. I'm going to go with Brock, though. I think that he's got something to prove. We've actually talked about how Frank, you know, obviously he wants the Bane belt, but he has got less to lose in this fight. You know, Brock wants to prove that the last time he had the upper hand, he made a mistake. You know, I think he has more to prove, and I think he does it.
All right, well, I think that's... Well, wait, I mean, today was weigh-in day, and speaking of bets and weigh-in, there's a little bet going on here. Tomorrow's a big weigh-in day for somebody at the studio. I'm not going to mention any names. Okay, actually, it's me. Let's discuss this real quick. We made a side bet. I was a little beefy there. I like a beer or two, up around the 200-pound range, and the bet was to get 185. You think I'm going to get that tomorrow?
185. Let's see. We are how many hours away from weigh-in at this point?
About 12.
And how much do you weigh?
I think I'm right around 177, 176.
Well, unless I drag you over to In-N-Out tonight, I don't think I'm going to win that one. So hopefully, maybe, you know, I will have to stop by and make that plus 250 bet on Alves and try and win some of that back.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm hurting. So tomorrow will be a great night. I can eat food. And we can watch some great fights.
I'm not sure what I'm looking forward to more.
All right. Well, we'll catch up with you on Monday. We'll bring the full card action, highlight everything that happens in Mandalay Bay. We'll have a new Octagon girl. You know, tell you
Holly
what.
Holly Madison's going to be there.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of celebrities. You know, you can still buy a ticket on StubHub. They're only $11,000. All right. Well, I'm Andy Samuelson.
I'm Brad Carter.
We'll join you next week, LasVegasSun.com. Thank you.